We welcome in Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts and Hockey Night in Canada. We talked a lot about the Flames over the past couple of days. You have a quick one after last night. The Flames win again. Ho-hum, wash, rinse, repeat.
Well, I just think that anybody who predicted Markstrom for the Vezina is just a genius.
I got Shesterkin. You took Markstrom?
Maybe. It's possible.
All right. Very good. Yeah, he looks great. But, I mean, both goalies look great. Everyone looks great right now. And the thing is, they're doing it without Mark Giordano as well, which is fascinating for many.
I think the Vladar thing is really fascinating for me because that was one of the biggest questions I had about the Flames going into the season. Like last year, Markstrom got burned out. And, you know, he also got injured at that one point when he got the concussion charging at whoever that was. I can't remember who it was right now. But, you know, you could tell that, you know, he needed a break at times. And they just didn't think they had the ability to do it. And that was one of the reasons I thought, you know, the Flames didn't have staying power. And this year we all wondered, was Vladar going to give them the 20 games that they would need? And it sure looks like it. And I think that that's, you know, first of all, they deserve credit for identifying somebody who could help them. He deserves credit for being ready to play. There's no question he's been ready to play. And I think the way that they play in front of their goalies right now is much, much better than it was last year. So it's set up a recipe for success. But, you know, that's what I look at when I see Calgary is that – I sit here and I see a team that A is obviously playing a lot better, and B, the best thing that maybe happened to them as well is that they found somebody that who's earned their trust, so you don't have to play Markstrom 96 times this year.
So Vladar, that is credit to Brad Treliving and the pro scouting staff who identified that guy and said, yeah, we think that there's something there. You know, a couple of things that is really impressive about this Flames team, not just necessarily playing at the 725 clip and, you know, 12-3-5 after 20 games here, goal differential of plus 30. That was game 9 in 15 nights for the Calgary Flames. They've played 13 games on the road and only 7 at home. It's like, you know, normally when you get the schedule and you say, okay, where are we going to be by the time U.S. Thanksgiving rolls around? And you're the Calgary Flames and you look at it and you go, woof, we got a ton of road games here. We got 13 road games and 7 home games. Guys, let's just try to keep our head above water. There's a lot of home games coming up for the Calgary Flames. Like, it's not Islanders territory. There's a lot of home games coming up here for the Calgary Flames. Like, the way that they've done this, honestly, it's one of the more remarkable stories in the NHL today, Friedge.
Well, the other thing, too, is that they haven't played a ton of the Western Conference yet.
No, they've destroyed the East. They've completely destroyed the East.
And so, you know, so the thing you're looking at there, too, is you have a lot of big games. You're going to have a lot of big games. Is you're right. You have a better, like, home-road balance than you had before. So you like that. You know, you've gone east already. So one of your big trips is out of the way. You don't have to worry about that again. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of meaningful four-point games coming up, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, A, you're going to have more of them at home, which is good. B, some of your worst travel is done, which is good. But C, you know, you're not going to have those wasted games against those games that feel weird against the Eastern Conference, like someone who doesn't matter. You're not going to have as many of them at the end of the season. Like there's going to be a lot of meaningful games for them coming up. But the good news is they're playing like they can handle them.
So here's the going into last night's game. Corey Mastisack from The Athletic tweeted this out a couple of days ago. Calgary versus the East, 11-1-2. Calgary versus the West, 0-2-3. Now they're 1-2-3 after beating Chicago yesterday. But you're right, they have dined out very much.
Maybe they should petition for a conference switch.
Do a flop? Do a change?
We'd like to be in the Atlantic or the Metro.
Thank you very much, Mr. Commissioner. All right, a few things to get here. I want to get into Philadelphia a little bit. I do want to talk about Buffalo, but listen, every night that there's a Vancouver Canucks game, you got to mention it because this is all moving very slowly right in front of our eyes, as we talked about before.
Yep.
No JT Miller yesterday at practice, and so everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
A, should they have? And B, is there anything more to add to the Vancouver saga today? Do we have another chapter yet?
Look, excuse me, sorry, Jeff. The number one thing that I keep hearing about Vancouver, and I hear it every day, like I hear it every day, is that they're trying to avoid doing something they regret for a decade. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's it. Like, you know, like, all of our guys on radio out in Vancouver there are just, they're churning the mill every day. They're just throwing more logs on the fire. All of those fire starters out on 650 in Vancouver. And, you know, they're getting calls. Like there's no question in my mind they're getting calls about a lot of their guys. But I have heard that the Canucks have told teams were determined not to walk into a mistake. So now the one thing I do think they're all asking themselves is they know that ownership is saying, if we don't fix this soon, what are we going to do? And so it's tense, and this is a huge game tonight, and I think everybody there feels it. I think if you're the Canucks and the GM and the coach and the players, the best thing you can do right now is say, like, the only way we're going to get out of this unscathed is if we all go row in the right in the same direction, right? And I think that's the kind of thing they're trying to do, is get everybody back on the same page. It's not an easy thing to do because you feel like you're drowning when it's like that in that market.
The problem with that is trying to get players to do that while, you know, right above them, and we've talked about this either on the podcast or here, right above them, what are they seeing? They're seeing factions forming.
Yeah, that's true.
It's tough as a player to say, hey guys, let's all do this, when you see everybody playing Game of Thrones above you.
Yeah, and I think also as a player, like the toughest thing is when I just remember one player telling me once, actually it was Kovalchuk. I remember him talking to me about this once, that when he was in Atlanta and things weren't going very well, he would talk about how, you know, I was asked to play a system, and I tried to play the system, but then when we went on a big losing streak or we kept losing, I was thinking, I've got to do something extra to try to help us out of this streak. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're in danger of losing your structure or doing things that you can't do or shouldn't do. And I remember he talked about this. I had a length conversation with him once about this, about how the toughest thing to do is trust what you're supposed to do when you're losing and losing often. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that I was talking about someone with Vancouver is they see that. Like when things go badly for the Canucks during games, you can see the loss of trust in what they're supposed to do. And some people blame coaches for that, and some people blame players for that. That mm-hmm. when you're in a situation where things aren't going well, you have to cling to what you're supposed to do. And that's a very hard thing to do when you're losing.
Vancouver faces off against the Pittsburgh Penguins this evening. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won 3 games in a row: Ottawa, Toronto, and Winnipeg. Specifically, this is game 20 for the Vancouver Canucks. Philadelphia Flyers, they'll play the Florida Panthers tonight. I mean, out of the frying pan into the fire. This is a tough stretch this week for Philadelphia. They got Tampa, they got Carolina. Tampa yesterday, Florida today, and then they have Carolina on the horizon as well. I thought Carter Hart was really good last night. They lose 4-0. Ellison Hayes, as we all know, have re-injured themselves. You tweeted about Morgan Frost. Where's Philly right now, Freach?
It's tough. And I'll tell you this, like, you look at you mentioned it, Tampa Bay, and I thought Vasilevsky was really good in that game early. I thought Philly had a chance, and Vasilevsky does what he does. He kind of sucks the life out of you, and he did that with Philly last night. I just think that they're in the midst of a really brutal stretch. You know, as you mentioned, there's injuries there. I really thought like a week or two ago they were going to be fine because they were getting the goaltending. Like Hart looks like he's back to where he is. And Jones looks like he's really improved and worked on some things, and he's given them some good games. Yeah. And now, like, that division is just not very forgiving, right? So, and you can feel it. You can feel it coming in on them that they're worried about what they're gonna have to go do and what they're gonna have to get through. I mean, it's the same thing as I say about Vancouver. They were playing well. You've got to trust that. But this is a big opportunity for Frost. Like, the, you know, Broussard got hurt last night. It says to me he probably can't go tonight. You know, they got to hope he comes in and gives them a bit of a breather. The tough thing now right now is, like, I think there's teams out there trying to do some things. I think talks are finally starting to pick up, Jeff. But there's so many teams in cap hell. It's really, I mean, there's, look at all the teams in the league that have to go cash in, cash out. It's hard. It's really hard to do that.
It is difficult. And, you know, we talked about, you know, Dallas's situation last night. If you want to try to, if he's good to go, bringing in someone like Ben Bishop, you got to clean up, you know, internally $5 million worth of cap space. And speaking of the Dallas Stars in action last night against the Edmonton Oilers, was that the Oilers looking
in-season Stanley Cup? In-season Stanley Cup. Who's got it?
You won it for me last night. I was the champion going into last night. I was feeling good about myself, facing off against Dallas. And then today, Arizona. I thought, okay, that's going to be two wins. And then we're off to the road here. I got eyes to David Amber, who stands at 18 points so far. But Jake Ottinger, John Klingberg with three assists, and Denis Gurianov with the speed and the goal. He was like Dallas McDavid. On that one, the Dallas Stars beat the Edmonton Oilers last night. They get the 2 points, and you get the in-season Stanley Cup. You know what? By the way, I
just want to say, like, everybody tweets me after these hits, and they say they think I'm not paying attention. I was paying attention for waiting for you to bring up this game. And I just want to say that every time you open your mouth about how a game is a 2-foot putt or an easy victory for you, it just blows up in your face.
I know, I'm bad.
If we were like a racetrack or something like that, and you bet on a horse, I would bet on that horse to come in 17th.
Yeah, no, I know. I got the jinx. I got to stop talking about, oh, this game's a layup. Oh, this one. This is why I have, like, man, I am the worst better. I am the worst. I'd be good for you, and I'd be good for DA. For you guys,
no,
just doing the opposite of what
too.
I pick.
He's also terrible. He really is. I don't bet on anything he bets on.
Well, then he has a friend in me. One of the things.
One of the things I did want to say about that game last night was if that was a national TV game, and I did watch it, but if that was a national TV game around the league, everybody would be talking about Haskinen for Norris.
He was great on McDavid. Bonus kept
so they,
out there
they
against
play,
McDavid
they played
all
together
night
last
long.
Night.
Yeah.
13 minutes, 5-on-5. And a credit to Natural Stat Trick for this. 13 minutes, 5-on-5. And during that time, Dallas outshot Edmonton 7-5. And Haskinen played him pretty hard and pretty clean. Like, it was, they battled, which is fine.
Totally clean.
I like battles. Like, that's a game where I watched that game last night, and to me, that's a game where you look at Haskinen and you say, that was a Norris Trophy caliber performance.
There were a few. I thought Klingberg with the three assists, you know, nice walking the line on the Radulov goal, the nice tip in front, and, you know, he gets it up a little bit because he's John Klingberg, but it's tip territory for Radulov. There's one other defenseman that I want to mention, too. We've talked about him before, both when he played with Anaheim and then Carolina. There was a flashpoint moment. I think it was the second.
Oh, was Yanni Cassian the big hit?
Yanni Hakanpaa is coming out from around the net. Cassian takes a good run at him, gets full body on him. They both go down. Hakanpaa gets up like it's nothing, and Cassian sort of takes a second and I'm sure says to himself, Who's that? Was BX always called big guys mutants? Like, who's that mutant that I just tried to hit?
He's a big man.
That is a solid player there, Freach. I know he's not going to give you a ton of points, but Yanni Hakanpaa took a run at by Cassian and just shook it off and jumped back into the play.
Cassian took the worst of it, yeah.
Yeah, and Kasten was the one delivering it. Anyway, you got a quick thought on Denis Gurianov. That's one of the more frustrating players in the NHL to me. I look at the skill set, I look at the wheels, I look at the, like, everything about him, and I say, how is this guy not like a top 25 player in the NHL?
The Stars are probably asking the same question. That was a beautiful goal last night. I remember a couple of years ago, they were pushing him for the Calder. They were saying he wasn't getting enough love. We had that great season.
Had a great second half of that season too. It was like a late push for Gurianov.
You can tell that they're hoping that he takes a bigger, a bigger role in that group. And you know, Dallas is starting to go now. I was a little bit worried for them last week with that whole Riley Tufts situation, because I've seen that turn teams sideways. Obviously Toronto, Jason Spezza got scratched in his first game. That one had a huge impact on that team. I remember when Kyle Turris played for Arizona and he was scratched in Vancouver. That caused a big problem there internally. So those situations can cause problems, but it appears as if Dallas has kind of righted itself a bit. I always kind of keep an eye on those things after they happen.
Buffalo Sabres. Speaking of which, players debut, Sean Durzi. Looks like Sean Durzi
tonight, going tonight
for Los Angeles against the Toronto Maple Leafs, the team that drafted him. He's a kid that played in the OHL. He was part of the Jake Muzzin trade. He gets in there tonight as the Kings face off against the Maple Leafs. Got a quick thought on that one before we go to Buffalo.
I'm looking forward to seeing him because he's a talented guy. I think he's leading AHL defenseman in scoring, right? And when they sent him back.
Now that Perunovic is gone.
That's right. Perunovic is gone, so he's there. And, there was a chance he was going to play Sunday in Arizona, and he didn't. And then he played Monday night. I think he had three assists, and they called him back up. And the other thing, too, about Durzi is, like, it's going to be an interesting night in L.A. because it's Muzzin's – I believe it's Muzzin's first game back, right?
Yes. I'm not 100% on that.
I think it's Muzzin's first game back. It's definitely Campbell's first game back. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be emotional for all of those guys. And, plus Durzi was in the trade. And, the other thing, too, is, and this might only interest me. It might not have anything to do with anybody else. But I remember when that trade was going down, Liljegren's name was in it. And LA wasn't as high on Liljegren. They preferred Durzi to him. And so, I always look at that kind of thing. Now you look at Liljegren, he's making a push to be a regular. You look at Durzi, he's trying to make a push to be a regular. He's obviously a really talented guy. Like, all of this stuff kind of interests me. Plus Durzi's a Mississauga guy, a Toronto area guy. So he's gonna be wired to play the Leafs. Like, there's a lot of good subplots about this one tonight.
Buffalo Sabres, Craig Anderson and the injury. Anderson had been giving the Buffalo Sabres really good goaltending, .921 save percentage. He had been excellent for the Buffalo Sabres. There's no indication that we know whether he's going to be back anytime soon. So, if
he's not skating yet, is he? He's not.
No,
right?
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not.
I don't like that. I never like that. Yeah.
So, Dylan Tokarski, bless him. But if you're the Buffalo Sabres, are you looking for a goaltender right now? Like, we've talked about Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen before, and he's the goalie of the future, and that's certainly true. But we've talked about developing players before, the American League and the NHL. So much of it relies upon how long can you stay in games. And if you don't have a goaltender, you can be out of the game right away. What does that do for the development of a player? Nothing. If you're the Buffalo Sabres, how aggressively are you looking for a goalie right now? Someone probably, I would imagine, with some term attached to him. And considering you have three first-round picks... Are you putting any of those three in play to get one?
Well, I was sitting down this morning because you mentioned to me you were going to ask me about this. So I figured I should do actual preparation for a change.
Wow.
While I'm making soup here. And I'm going I'm going through the standings. And, here's the thing I'm wondering. First of all, if you're going to make a trade, you want someone who's at least is going to be better than Tokarski, right?
Yes.
So you're not making a lateral move. You're trying to go higher than that. So how many of those guys do you think really think are available? You know, how many teams really have goalies available? Because, you know, if you're really in it, you're going to need three goalies this year.
Do you think you're going to need three goalies this year? Like if you're the one, and we just talked about Dallas a second ago, the one team that I keep coming back to, whether it's Hudobin or Holtby, now that Jake Ottinger looks like he's grabbing this crease, that's the one team that I keep going back to for Buffalo, unless they just go to Edmonton.
Well, the thing
try
is
to get Koskinen.
If you're Buffalo, you know, I think Dallas is one of the teams you probably talk to. I don't think there's any real doubt about that. But I think you said one thing, like, first of all, you're not giving up a ton of a big pick if you're Buffalo for somebody who doesn't have term or team control. Like, if you look at the Eichel deal, one of the reasons they were so interested in making a deal with Vegas is because Kevin Adams thought it, and the Sabres thought it was very important to have that guy there, right? As someone who's willing to come and say, I'm a Sabre, like Alex Tuch did. To me, that's more important for you. So, like, I don't know if you're the Sabres and you're giving up a big asset for someone who's just going to walk very quickly. That's one of the things I was doing. Like, I'm looking around, like, how many teams have a goalie available that they feel that they could move?
As we lose Freege at the perfect time, because we got to go to break anyway. Let's see if he buzzes back here. But the Buffalo situation is an interesting one with the goaltending. There have been some good stories with the Buffalo Sabres this season. Craig Anderson was early, who was, you know, channeling Anderson from, you know, 8-9 years ago, and Tage Thompson as well. The shift to center and the 8 goals so far. You want to finish your thought there, Freege, before we go to break?
Well, I was just saying, like, the one tough thing about trading for a goalie right now is how many teams are really going to be interested in moving a goalie.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you look at teams that are falling out,
and are better than what Buffalo has. So let's look at it. Like, if you're look at the teams who aren't very good right now. Mm-hmm. Like Arizona really doesn't have a goalie to move.
Oh, they got two guys on minimum deals.
But is it better than what you have? Like, Buffalo's already had Carter Hutton. Yes.
No, you know the one that I keep coming back to, and none of this will get sorted until we know what's happening with Carey Price. I wonder about Jake Allen.
You know, I think that's a really interesting one. Because Jake Allen was available in the off season last year. They did talk about it briefly in Montreal. Mm-hmm. That's a name that I kind of wondered about. That's an interesting one. But if you're Montreal, depending on, you know, Price, and I think we all feel that Price should take his time to do it on his schedule, right?
Yeah, of course.
Like, what if, like, you know, that doesn't help necessarily Buffalo now. And the one thing I think about Buffalo is you do have to reward your kids. You have to give them a chance to win. Yeah. So you got to get somebody in there quickly, I think, if you know Anderson can't play.
Yeah, that only helps their development. Okay, we got to hustle. Talking Colorado here with Peter Baugh here in a couple of seconds. So go enjoy your soup, and we'll see what happens.
No, I wasn't making soup. I was making that up. I was not making soup.
That's okay. Maintain the fiction here a little bit. Go along with the bit a little bit, Elliot. A lunch bagel or a bowl of soup. 14 games tonight. Good luck watching 6 games at the same time at 7 o'clock Eastern as we all wonder to ourselves, can we not get one U.S. Thanksgiving game? Not one. Can we get one? Tomorrow we're all dark. Thanks, Freege. Talk tomorrow, pal.
All right. Take care.